Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
River Islands Guest Line is all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop, and a home game for Anthony Slater? Doesn't have to make the two-hour drive down to Chaser, because you just roll up out of bed at around 6 o'clock, make the five-minute drive to Golden 1 Center, and check out the Warriors and the Kings. And the Warriors right now, let's just start it off before we get to trades and the state of the team. Slater, who's in, who's out, as you say good morning to you, brother?
Who's playing? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Am I playing?
If you could. I mean, can you hit a three?
I might. I mean, my three's not too bad.
About 25% shooter. Will you hustle like Gui Santos? Will you hustle as much as Gui Santos?
I will hustle, but my endurance is lacking these days.
Next question. Are you 6'8"? Are you 6'8"? I don't think you are. I don't think you checked this box.
Steve Kerr does love three-guard lineups, so I'm about 6'4".
Oh, no.
About 6'4".
There you go. Starting at the three tonight. Although your natural position is a four. Half the roster at this point. Sorry. To answer your question, Draymond Green is out. Brandon Pajemski remains out. Kyle Anderson is out. And Jonathan Kuminga is out.
So it's a new year, 2025. And you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen. And here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again, with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one, and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
That's it.
What's going on with that? You referenced it right there. We had Steve Kerr on Willard and Dibbs yesterday. For those that missed it, it's on the Odyssey app and the YouTube page. But he was basically asked the question, and I'm paraphrasing. Dibbs said, hey, is it by necessity that you've experimented with Moses Moody there? Do you like what you see? And he said, yeah, it's a little bit out of necessity. But also, we think we can kind of get something out of that because of so many fours in the league are now stretch fours. And so they're standing out more on the three-point line. What do you like about Moses Moody playing the four, and how does that kind of complicate things with Kuminga and Draymond and, I guess, potentially Kyle Anderson, given that now there's a logjam at that position?
Well, I would say, number one, I like that it gets Moses Moody matched up on bigger assignments, because I think at this point, and we used to say this about Clay, remember Clay became a power forward in his last couple of years, it's easier for him to defend bigger, kind of tougher guys rather than, you know, your quicker guards. Laterally, he's a little bit slower, but, you know, he's smart and he's long and he's stronger than he looks. He's got kind of broad shoulders. So I think it makes sense defensively. And yeah, then it juices the rest of their lineups to have more spacing, because he's a legitimate spacer, which they don't have a lot of. 39% from three. The shot looks good, and I think on opposing scouting reports, like, you know, I think opposing coaches say, hey, you got to get out on that guy, which is what spacing really is. Can you draw the defense out? As far as the logjam, which it is a logjam, and it has been, a lot long, you know, before Moses Moody started getting minutes at the four, to me, the way you break up this logjam is you get a stretch five. This roster's clearly lacking a stretch five. It's something they've at least acknowledged behind the scenes for a while now. But they haven't remedied. But if you remedy it and you get a stretch five, to me, that you know, really adds a legitimate stretch five, a guy that'll hit, you know, a good percentage of threes, shoots him a lot. Obviously, Vucevic is the name we've discussed. But to me, that allows you to play a lot more various combinations where you suddenly don't have to just pigeonhole everyone into the four.
Look, we don't know what the trade market is going to present here, who's available, who's not. We heard some of the big names. You mentioned Vucevic, and maybe there's a Zach LaVine. We know Jimmy Butler's on the block here. But what if the Warriors can't make a deal or don't make a deal before the February 6th deadline, Anthony? Could they sell Steph, or have they sold Steph on taking a step backwards, if it meant taking a few steps forward later on, like this summer or next season?
Well, I mean, the 48-hour period prior to the deadline and what Steph is told is available and what Steph is told was or wasn't acted on will matter, right? He needs right. He said it in his own subtle, like, diplomatic way, but he wants to know that Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob and the Warriors front office is attempting, you know, to make smart but, you know, additive moves. And, you know, they continue to message out that they're, you know, searching on the open market, and they're trying to help this roster, even if it's just not some, you know, unbelievable, you know, star level boost that we believe gets them back into contention. Cause I don't think anyone thinks that's actually out there. I think they'll try. To your question of if they don't, it's going to be about how they sell that to Steph. And then also, you know, like, even what maybe they're hinting to him could be available this summer. You know, on a bigger fish, bigger picture way, and he would know better than we would know, and we'll see. And we'll see. I know how that will land locally if they don't do anything at the deadline. But as you mentioned, it matters a lot more what Steph thinks than what the fans think.
If I just took kind of like the big fish trades off the table, what about some of their own redundant parts, some of the specialists on this team? Could you see them selling off a couple pieces or flipping a couple of pieces off this bench? I mean, there's a lot of guys that are either one-way defenders or one-way shooters with no defense. Do you see any of those guys getting moved?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're what, like $7 million above the tax, something like that. Like, they're basically a Buddy Hield contract above the tax, because they went into the tax to get Buddy Hield. That was like the last move they made this summer. Buddy's got, you know, it's a 4-year deal, but there's outs after year two. So it's not as long as it seems, but it's still, you know, longer term money beyond the summer. So is Kyle Anderson at this point, 3-year deal. You know, do you see them maybe trying to get off some of that longer term money to reopen a little bit of flexibility? It's possible. Do they try to duck the tax? Maybe. You know, that's not going to necessarily land well locally if they're just saying, hey, you know, Joe Lacob's saving some money. That was like the main goal that has been accomplished at the deadline. But to answer your question, could I see them doing it, especially if the next few weeks go really poorly? Sure. Yeah, that's what typically, you know, lottery teams do, is they make, you know, financial and roster flexibility moves for the long term.
Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game. Circling back to Saturday night, the Wizards, they've won 6 games. They're terrible. They're going to be in play for Cooper Flagg. But Jordan Poole came back to town, and it's always a little sentimental. Obviously, he helped to win a championship a couple seasons ago, and we know what happened that last season when he was here. We don't need to revisit that. But what I'm going to revisit is his comments after the game. Said, hey, man, I love those guys over there. I love most of those guys over there, which triggered Draymond to reply to Mark Spears' tweet saying, I am really sorry. What were your thoughts on that whole interaction there with Jordan Poole saying what he said to the media, and then, of course, Draymond Green replying to the tweet?
Yeah, I mean, it's Draymond saying what we all know, and anyone who's been behind the scenes the last couple of years understands. Like, he's very regretful of how that went down. You know, and I think his pride kind of got in the way of, like, the immediate apology, and there's been so much over the last couple of years, but I think we've all seen that had a spiraling effect on the last few seasons. And if, you know, it clearly, like, if he could take back that decision, to me, he would probably take that back over, like, even the Gobert, the Nurkic, or name your other situations, especially because it's an in-house, it's a teammate. He's talked about how it really killed his leadership voice over a couple of years, because it was just hard to suddenly, like, be viewed as a leader in the locker room when that happened. So again, he acknowledged it publicly, which I know, like, created the news cycle, but we've known he's understood the ramifications of that choice for a long time now.
His injury, the calf, is that related to the back? Is this Achilles? Like, how severe is this? I mean, clearly it's a big injury for him. There's no doubt. But I'm saying, like, is this an injury that's going to linger the whole season?
I mean, it kind of has for a while now, right? I mean, we know he left the game, but that wasn't, like, just, like, the first time he's been on the injury report for a calf issue. And he's also been on the injury report for the back issue. And then it was labeled as a disc, that same disc that was the issue that caused, you know, the really long-term calf injury from a couple seasons ago. They're calling it mild at this point, reevaluating a week. To me, that signals at least an encouraging level from them that they believe he'll be back soon-ish, not necessarily in a week, but not 2 months from now. But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, he's back in calf, continually listed on the injury report really over the last, like, month and a half at this point. So it's not necessarily a good sign. I do think they're smartly, you know, pulling the brakes on him right now, maybe trying to reset his body, giving him a little bit of time off. And we'll see how long that lasts. But to me, the most important thing for the team without him, they need to survive without him over the next several weeks. And then for him, I would almost aim post All-Star break. If they're still in a decent spot, maybe they make an addition or two at the deadline, and he can get his body right and active and kind of ready to charge post All-Star break, then maybe, like, that's probably the most optimistic way to say they can maybe save their season.
Kuminga, I haven't heard much of him on the trade block, and hopefully, you know, he was ascending, no doubt. The last couple of years, he's played some good basketball, especially since December 1st, where he's averaging over 21 a game. I'm a little surprised it's taken him a while to get back on the floor. I'm hearing that he may not get back on the floor till February, and right now it feels like that may be the bigger loss than Draymond Green, which sounds crazy, right? But what Kuminga provides offensively for this team, when this team has been at the bottom five, they're alongside the Wizards and the Utah Jazz and all these bottom feeders when it comes to offensive efficiency, offensive rating, and field goal percentage. Do we have any idea when Kuminga's going to be back?
It's going to be a bit. I mean, look, I see him on a daily. He's been very visible. He's out of the walking boot, but he's still, you know, the ankle's still wrapped up when you see him. He's still not, like, I haven't seen him even in a jog or on the court at all at this point. From his standpoint, it would make sense to, like, take his time and, like, make sure the ankle's right and don't just, like, you know, hour back and play 12 minutes because you feel like they need you on a given night. I mean, like, this is part of them not giving him a contract extension. He needs to kind of look out for himself a little bit at this point and, you know, make sure he's ready, you know, to hit the ground running when he does come back, which to me means that, like, later stages of the rehab, and I'd probably call him in the middle stages right now. The initial stages were, like, you know, he's in crutches, he's in a boot. Now he's to the point where he's, like, walking around. You see him on the bench, like, he's in regular shoes, but he's not on the court. To me, once he gets on the court, you can maybe start putting the countdown down. And maybe when we get into some practices and shoot-arounds, we'll see, oh, he's playing 3-on-3, oh, he's playing 5-on-5. Right. But we're not even – I wouldn't even say we're necessarily a week or two away from that. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking – we won't see him for sure until February, and I would probably be talking more – mid-February All-Star break range would be my, by the way, prediction, speculation, whatever you want to call it.
Wow.
That's a major blow.
How long would that absence be?
That's since January 4th. He got hurt January 4th.
I'm saying if he goes
Memphis,
to February, that's
6 weeks.
Yeah, that's 6 weeks.
Jeez, 6 weeks.
I mean, look, the reality is he was very high up in the air and he came down. And,
no doubt.
You know, the ankle. I mean, it's a bad ankle sprain. It's what it is.
No, I know. It's just, it's you're 100% correct.
It just couldn't happen at the worst time for him. He's playing good basketball. We're figuring out who he is. They need him offensively because defensively their rating is still up there, but offensively they can't buy a bucket, which we saw the other night, Anthony, against the Boston Celtics, 3 of 24 in the first half from three. And part of the reason why they're shooting so many threes is because they don't have too many players who could beat their man off the dribble. That, to me, right now, Slater's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the most schematic way to look at it. The way I look at it, like tonight and obviously last game and over the next foreseeable future, I would say you don't have your second-best player, Draymond. You don't have who I'd probably say was, what, fourth-best player? I mean, you know, we'll have Wiggins in there. Mm-hmm. And then Pajemski, at least prior to the season, you would be considering him fifth, sixth most important player. They haven't had him now 12 games. Yeah. So you're talking about four of your top five or six, three of your top five or six are now out. Like, that's hard for anybody in the league to win, especially a team who we already consider kind of maybe shakier depth-wise than we thought.
Anthony, we get so jaded when the team wins this much. I feel like you get jaded, too, if your team loses for a long period of time. But, like, we're spoiled, right, Warrior fans? Like, I get it. But as someone who's emotionless when it comes to this team, and you look around the history of the league, I was asking Bonte, I'm like, man, I feel like that championship aura, like when you win a title, it should last for multiple seasons. Boy, it felt like it dissipated. Like the one from just 2022 feels like it's completely gone, and maybe it evaporated, you know, in the preseason with the punch. I don't know. You could pick different points. Like, from afar, how would you explain to Warrior fans how to come to grips with what you're watching right now if no trade comes through as you're watching these games every night and you don't get a young Kuminga to glom onto and you just got Steph and there is no Draymond? What would be your advice to them in terms of how to get satisfaction from watching these Warriors?
Oh, man. You're probably going to have to buckle up for the next 5 years or so. And then, you know, you look around, and I'm not necessarily directly comparing them to these dynasties, but, you know, look at, like, the Patriots, you know, and, like, this little dry spell they've had to deal with. And, you know, now they got Drake May, and, you know, maybe, I don't know, they had kind of had a bad draft, I guess. So, you know, I don't follow football, like, you know, too intensely, but, you know, they're kind of probably have a 4 or 5 year stretch here where they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. The Spurs. Okay, obviously, with the Kawhi Leonard pick, they kind of had that two-timeline expansion of it, but then they had to eventually hit the patch where they became a lottery team for several straight seasons. And, you know, they struck gold. They got the number one pick in a year of, like, I could have made the Victor Wembanyama pick. Y'all could have. Like, that wasn't some, like, unbelievable find. They got the number one pick in a generational draft, and now they're on the rise again. Let's say they didn't get that pick. Let's say they got even the number two pick in that draft, the number five pick, whatever, their rebuild would be looking very elongated. So you're going to probably have to get lucky in the future with the picks, and, you know, maybe something will materialize. The Warriors are still somewhat of a destination for free agents just because of market, and the brand is still better. You know, you mentioned, like, maybe the championship Warriors got a little bit. You still go around the league. Like, the Warriors still have, like, a brand recognition. I don't know a lot of that stuff, but he's still around. He'll be around for a few years. So it's possible they lure somebody in the next couple of years and change the situation. But, yeah, I mean, like, this is the life cycle in sports. And, you know, so, look, we could go back and we did last week, right, and review the various moves. If Anthony Edwards was suddenly on this team, everything would look different, but that's just not what happened. So they're entering probably a colder spell unless something kind of reverses.
What do you make of the Phoenix-Utah trade yesterday with the picks? Obviously, Phoenix is lining up to go get Jimmy Butler, but do you think there's any way, like, there could be three teams involved, could be four teams involved? Do you think there's any way? I know they ideally would want to pair Jimmy Butler with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, but something tells me something else is up down there in Phoenix. What did you make of that whole ordeal yesterday between the Jazz and the Suns?
I mean, it's pretty simple. They had, like, I think two available firsts, and because of that trade and because of step-in rules, now they have six available firsts to trade. Now, they gave up the 2031 unprotected Suns pick, which it's probably the most appealing 2031 pick, like, in the league, considering where things are going. You know, you talk about a cold spell coming. It's coming in Phoenix. But this is flexibility. Sure, this was about trying to get Jimmy Butler, but that still is requiring Bradley Beal to accept a future destination because of it. So let's say Beal doesn't. You still now have six firsts to try to maneuver around at the deadline. Try to get off Nurkic's contract. Try to get a a mid-tier, you know, a Cam Johnson, whatever. Oh, suddenly maybe they want to get him back, although they traded him for KD. But it's just about now, because everything in Phoenix right now is about now, especially with Durant's extension decision looming this summer. I mean, if you talk about domino effects with the Warriors, like if it goes really poorly and if it continues to go poorly for Phoenix, you do wonder about Durant's future as immediately as this summer.
Would they possibly trade him before the deadline?
I don't think so. There's been no indication of that. I mean, just even the trade yesterday, right? That's not an indication right. that they're ready to hit the rebuild, right? That's right. an indication that they're going all in on this season. So no would be my very educated guess on it, but the league has stunned me before, and there's been stunning, like, deadline night, you know, night before the deadline type deals that we don't see coming.
Removing emotion, if you took Steph off the board, who has the most value on the Warriors team currently, league-wide, that could get you, whether it's capital or a player in return, who's the guy on the team that brings the most value to the table in an open market?
Yeah, you know, I would have said this summer, Pajemski. I kind of wonder where that has gone, just because, you know, the cost control, you know, like $3-4 million for the next few years under cost control. Kuminga is probably dependent on the team. There are teams out there, there's scouts I've talked to who are higher on him. Like, he's got a wide range of opinions on how good he can be. But if you find a team that thinks he's going to be a stud and is ready to pay him, he has a lot of value. But, you know, obviously his contract situation looms. And then the other one I'd say, Andrew Wiggins has become like a solid value contract again. I mean, 25 to 30-ish million under control next season. Really good 3-and-D wing that's going to shoot over 40% from three. He's going to guard your best perimeter player. You know, he's going to play 70 games. He's going to play 32 minutes a night. He's still only 29 years old. Like, that can fetch you something. But, you know, I don't know. Like, is it going to get you something better than Andrew Wiggins at this point? Maybe, but probably not. Depends on what you would have to add picks to get something better.
How do the Warriors feel about Andrew Wiggins? Because he's had a solid season.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he could be your number two or whatnot in terms of offense scoring as we get into, who's the 1, 2, 3, or 4. But he's been very solid, to your point, Anthony. He does guard very well on the ball. He's had a solid season. But how do the Warriors feel about him in his long-term future here with the Golden State Warriors? Would they be willing to maybe part ways with him? Because he is your lone perimeter defender right now. He's going to have his work cut out for him tonight with Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray. Boy, the Warriors are so short-handed. But Wiggins, how do they feel about Wiggins?
They like him. I mean, yeah. You know, the players like him, the coaches like him, the front office likes him. He's on a reasonable deal, especially now that his mind's cleared from his situation in the last couple of years. He's a guy you want on. It's part of why, like, some of those bigger swings right now, even the Jimmy Butler talks, are tougher for them to think about, because you'd almost have to put his contract in a deal. Yet if you are in this win now situation, like, he's a win now player, right? Yeah. I mean, he fits the Curry timeline. He fits around Steph well. Now, is he the number two scorer Steph needs? No, but he's not necessarily being paid like a number two scorer. To answer your question, would they be willing to part for him? Potentially, if a monster becomes available, right? You know, obviously, we've talked about some of the names that do or don't fit that. But, you know, that's probably more of a summer conversation, because I don't see one of those guys coming available in the next couple of weeks. But he's not somebody they're shopping or looking to part with. But just contractually, you almost might have to eventually, if the right situation presents itself.
All right, Anthony. Take care. Have fun at the G1C, where the Charge of Sacramento Kings are rolling right now.
9-2 y'all ain't coming up?
No, you know I'm always in the studio, Slater. You know that.
Nah, y'all should be courtside tonight at G1C.
I want to be courtside up there at the G1C. They love me up there. They got T-shirts of me up there, Anthony. They got me out putting T-shirts.
Y'all got a studio, like, in the atrium arena.
Kyle Draper, Mike Bibby, DeSimo, they hog that studio up there. They hog it.
Hey, why can't Chase get something like that for you?
I like being out there at the gay house, Slates.
All right, you like the gay house?
I like the gay house.
The king has to have his own castle.
I like the gay house. I like chilling outdoors. Get some sunshine. Get to walk around a little bit. Get some fresh air. Got some nice little comfy chairs in there.
He has to have a moat separating him from the commoners. You know that.
I mean, come on, Slates. You've been out. You got to come by the gay house one day. Say hi.
I will. You know, next game. Who they got? They got a homestand coming up. I'll pick one of those.
Well, they got the Bulls tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow. It's back-to-back load management. And then,
wait, even your load managing?
Hell yeah. Well, come on, man. I got to wake up with you.
You're not going to scout Levine and Vucevic tomorrow night?
I'll be doing it from my couch. Be doing it for my
there
folks.
You go. Hey, by the way, 45% from three. Look at Levine's.
I know it's been insane. I know it's. Come on, it's insane. What? All right, now that we're here, I know we're going to let you go. I got to ask this.
I shouldn't have even brought it up.
You shouldn't have brought it up because you know what, Warrior fans, they're listening to you, Slater. They love you, or they hate you, or they love you, but they comment to whatever you tweet out there. Would the Warriors be willing to take on Zach LaVine's contract?
I think it's something that they've, the idea that they've bounced around. It's a hefty one, and, you know, he does come with some questions about his availability and the sustainability of the shot, but he would certainly, like, the way he's playing right now is exactly what they need. I wouldn't say it's like a complete no, but, and the other question is, like, you know, what does Chicago want for him?
Right.
Chicago's always, like, talk to anybody, they're a little bit, you know, funky to deal with. So we'll see. I'm not saying completely no on that.
Oh, man. If he drops 40 tomorrow, Shasky, we need to go get Zach LaVine. That's Thursday night. That'll be for Friday's show. Anthony, have fun up there at the G1C, man. Always a good time up at Zach.
See you, buddy.
All right, folks.
All right, Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest site. You imagine Zach LaVine tomorrow night comes out to chase.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.